The following segment is a paid commercial program by Christensen CPAs and Consultants. It's time for Ask the Expert on News Talk 1340 and 96.3 FM, KWLM.
And once again, we have multiple experts in studio today, and I do not include myself among those. So.
You should, Bill. This is Joel Gratz with Christensen.
Yes, and you brought one of the aces of your staff.
I have one of the aces, my partner, Dustin Cutterba, who joined the about a year or so ago?
Just over a year ago, yeah. Yes.
So let's find out a little bit about you, Dustin. Where are you from, and how did you ever get hooked up with Joel, I guess?
So I'm originally from Goodridge, Minnesota, so okay. the deep north or the far north. Grew up on a farm there, went to college in the Fargo-Moorhead area, and went to a career fair, and at the career fair was Christensen and Associates at the time, and on their billboard had a large combine, and there was some corn on there, and being a farm kid, I thought, hey, this is the place for me. And then kind of the rest is history after that. So I've been here for, 12 years now?
I think it's been 12 already, the Dirty Dozen. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I went to radio school up at Thief River Falls. I'm familiar with the northwest part of the state. And my dad had a couple of uncles that at one time farmed up in Lancaster, which is even further north. So
small world, isn't it, Bill?
Yeah, it is. And I don't know. Well, every part of Minnesota is kind of unique, you know, in different area, different aspects, I guess. But I don't know. I guess maybe, you know, being born in this area and having not gravitated too far, I kind of prefer it, I guess, although I haven't spent extensive you know, time in other parts of the state. But you must like it down here then, Dustin. Is it the job that keeps you here, or there's some other things you like about it?
It's a lot of different things. It's the job. It's the lake country, you know, where I'm from northern Minnesota. There's a lot of farmland, not a lot of lakes. And it's pretty flat. It's kind of like Kansas up there.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a fact not a lot of people know about Minnesota. We have that flat of an area in the state. So, yeah, it's the geography, it's the people, and it's the opportunity down here for serving farm clients. So,
yeah. Well, Joel, again, you've got quite a team that Christensen has assembled, and I know you continue to look for even more talent, right?
No, we're always looking, and it's a hard thing to draw people out. And I know we've spoken about having a lot of remote workers as well outside of you know, where they live here and stuff. Mm-hmm. But, we're thankful to have Dustin and thankful to have the team we have. And every year we try to be strategic in how and who we hire and what we need. And I think we're getting better at it because we have to be, right, Dustin? Otherwise, the hiring, it just isn't that simple to go to a job fair. Not that it was simple to get you, but Dustin, but it was, it's not quite as simple anymore, you know?
Yeah. Was it last week that the EDC had a kind of a virtual job fair, I think, here in the area?
Yes.
Last Wednesday, I think.
I wasn't on it myself, but I understand a lot of folks attended that. Yeah, remotely. I think it was all remote. Yeah. Yep. So
hopefully, I think, you know, word of mouth still works too, right? I mean, among your acquaintances, maybe, Dustin, if you got somebody that is going to college or whatever, maybe plant that seed a little bit.
When you complete. I think, half of our hiring is probably some kind of personal connection. And
still
the other
referrals.
Half is probably...
No, you're absolutely right.
Advertising, so yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, we talk to the grandmas and the grandpas and the aunts and the uncles and the mom and dads and try to tell them who we are and what we do and the cool things and, you know, the fun things to try to attract some people. And for Dustin and I, who do a lot in the agriculture sector, that's getting even harder. There's less and less ag professionals that we call ourselves that, you know enough to be dangerous about ag. You know, tax is tax, but you still got to have the ag swag, right? Otherwise, it just doesn't feel right, and clients don't buy into it, and we're getting to be fewer and fewer. And we're not even sure strategically as a firm, right, Dustin, how we're going to handle that. And a lot of the folks who have that experience in our area are retiring. And, you know, Wilmer's going to be that probably West Central hub where a lot of folks are going to have to come to, or St. Cloud. There is an ag practice up there with the CLA, but they're not the same as, you know, they don't have farm kids like we do. And we feel that's our strategic advantage, our superpower, as it will. And that's kind of who we are.
And the world of agriculture has always been challenging, I think, that if you really are honest. But now the numbers are so big, it seems like, that you can't afford mistakes, and you've got to really sharpen up your operation to, you know, remain competitive and stay in business, basically.
Right. Yeah, no, it's absolutely the game of farming, I hate to call it a game. It's not a game, but it's a whole other play, right? Yeah, pennies mean a whole lot more, and the dollars are bigger. There's more acres, right? And they're spreading more costs over acres. And which really kind of ties into our topic today in data and what that means, not only for the ag sector, the farm sector, but all businesses, you know.
So, yeah, the term data, the first time I actually heard it was control. Well, they called it control data, but it was a computer outfit that basically, was formed in Bloomington, Minnesota back in the early days of computers. And then all of a sudden, you know, it became kind of, well, yeah, that's all sorts of information, you know, kind of can be put in under that umbrella a little bit, I guess. But when do you think that businesses started to pay more attention to that? And then I think we're going to talk about analyzing it too, right?
Well, it's a new service line for us and you know, big data and what it can do for you and how you manage it. And I think that's probably the piece where if you know you buy software, you buy tools, and you have professionals like us who can kind of jump into it, it can open your eyes to a lot of things. And for me as the old guy here, I think you know the software that you can use to bolt on. And Dustin's looking at me like, well, this is getting dangerous for the old guy to start talking like this. I should probably pass the baton on to Dustin here. But that's the key. As of late, Bill has really made it more accessible and more talkable to clients, whether you are Control Data, Microsoft, all these big guys and gals out there. It's becoming more cost effective for our local clients and what it could mean for them in different things.
What does it really all encompass then? I mean, when you're trying to assemble this data, what are you trying to do, Dustin?
Yeah, I think the key thing there is that businesses in general, I mean, forever basically, have always had data points, right? Mm-hmm. They're capturing financial data, production data. If they're a service provider, they're capturing service provider data. They have customers, they've got vendors, they have all these data points. And at the end of the day, I think in the day-to-day for entrepreneurs, you kind of get lost in what you do and what you're good at and what you have passionate about. And you don't really think about your data on a daily basis, but it's there. Yeah. We have a senior data analyst that has coined a term, you know, bringing the invisible, making it invaluable. And so it's pulling that data that's in the background that you don't think about and creating that into something that's a positive for your business that you can use to make decisions on. And really that's the key of data analytics is you have questions about what's happening in your business enterprise and you're trying to use data to find solutions to those questions and answers.
So we have to put a patent on that?
That's a pretty,
I think so. It's
pretty
trademarked.
Clever, yeah.
I forgot to tell you that. Trademarking that. So,
are you dead serious right now?
Yeah.
This is Bill. You're watching live partner stuff right now.
He's kind of smiling, so I wasn't sure he was.
Wasn't sure either. But it's really. I'm going to use the word sexy again. But that was awesome. So say it again, just one more time for my benefit.
It's bringing invisible and making it invaluable.
Yeah. We're going to actually patent that.
Yeah.
You can do that.
Yeah. Trademark.
Man, I feel really good today, Bill. Yeah. I just learned something new in the studio.
I tell you what, I thought that's a million-dollar phrase when you first said it.
When you were talking, I looked at Bill, we both went, wow, that's a deal there. We got to like make sure the whole world knows it's our deal now.
Yep,
but
for
anyway,
sure.
Sorry.
How long does it take to quantify then whether this is improving the bottom line, I guess, to actually go through these steps?
Well, and that's something that really depends upon your data sources, right? Mm-hmm. So if you've been capturing everything that's important to your business, and you have good data, and it's clean, and we can put it together, and it can be analyzed. You know, the turnaround time doesn't have to be that long. It could be within 3 to 6 months. If you really haven't been capturing the right kinds of data and pulling in those data sources, I mean, the runway then is we need to start capturing it. We need to start putting it into something that's usable, and that might take a year or more. Mm-hmm. You know, so it really depends upon the nature of your data sets, what you're capturing, and how complete it is.
And you know, the landscape seems to change pretty dramatically, and it's speeding up. You know, the more technology we seem to get, the more things, outside pressures, I guess, even that, you know, you don't have really control over, can affect, you know, your success or failure, really.
Yeah, when we're talking about farm margins, I mean, when you're at 20 cents a bushel profit or 50 cents, I mean, those pennies matter, and it's all about looking at your data and trying to find optimal solutions to your issues.
Yeah, and your input costs, and is it worth to get that extra bushel an acre if you spray 3 times or whatever? I mean, there's so many things that enter into it. And the thing that kind of boggles my mind is it seems like when prices are good, then everybody wants a chunk of that. And it doesn't take long for all these other things that you have to have, really, you know, as inputs to seem like they go through the roof, you know, so, and they don't come down as fast as they go up for whatever reason.
Nope, that's the nature of the beast in agriculture, it seems like.
Yeah. And I think maybe in some other businesses, too. Now we're hearing about all this supply chain thing and transportation costs. And, you know, with the cost of energy now, with especially fuel prices, that affects everything. I mean, we saw that, I forget how many years ago it is when we had the $4 a gallon gas. It's a little while ago now, but
it's at least 4
it
years,
really yeah. slowed things down at that point, it seemed like. So
for sure.
Yeah. Well, again, what are some of the biggest challenges, Dustin, that you find that our small businesses that you're working with are facing these days?
I think some of the key things here are for data analytics is just getting started. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes that's a challenge. You know, we alluded to earlier, it's big data. I think that was a term that was used initially probably a decade ago to start talking about data analytics. And right away, people were looking at it, were thinking that, hey, it's only big business. It's only the multi-billion-dollar businesses that can see value in this. And it really couldn't be further from the truth. Every business has key data and has business drivers. And, you know, looking at that's critical to be successful. And I look at especially the next generation of business owners, the millennials, Xers, Zers, you know, they're coming off of the boomer phases. They're all about data. They're all about communication. They're all about finding out the solutions and answers. They're the fastest to Google a solution to something.
Yeah.
And then obviously take that as gospel. But anyway, they're much more apt at consuming information. And so kind of the legacy business holders, they're the ones that are competing here too, right? Everyone's competing in this space. And at the end of the day, those that have access to the most data, analyze it probably the most effectively and efficiently, are going to win in the end. And that's just the nature of the business. And it's been that way almost forever, right? Mm-hmm. Business have always had data, so.
Right. And, you know, you think back, especially multi-generational businesses, there's always some wisdom among the older crowd. I mean, they may be not as adept at some of the new ways of doing things, but they've kind of got that experience factor, which I think the smart businesses take advantage of too, right?
Right, right. So that's the wisdom comes from having data, right? They've got years of data,
exactly. Yeah.
Whether they have it on a piece of paper or in a computer on their head,
yeah.
That's why they've got that wisdom, right? Is they've got that history, and I think we're just trying to capture it into a more of a program, into a systematic approach where it's more. It's not, you have to wait until you're 60 to have that data, right? I mean.
Yeah, and I think you actually hit it right on the head, Joel, about just kind of in your head, which is like a gut check or gut feeling. Mm-hmm. You kind of operate on your gut. And, you know, if you can use your data to actually have more substance there, more of a reasoning why you're making the decisions, that's key. And that brings your business probably to like the next level, I would say. So.
In our sorry, Bill.
No, go ahead.
In our firm, the conversation started with AI. And auditing and data there, and how do we audit better, faster, stronger? Wouldn't you say, Dustin, is how we started this discussion, and it's very quickly evolved and leapfrogged over an audit tool for us. Wouldn't you say to, you know, that's a standard procedure now is to manage that as an audit, but it's about what is the data telling us, right? For a while it was, we're going to replace all auditors with robots and AI, right? Mm-hmm. And that freaked me out. Like, wow, what does that mean for my firm and for us and my people? And it's frankly not going to make that much of an impact auditing. But where the impact is going to be is, again, capturing this data for a younger business owner who maybe doesn't have that 40 years of experience like we just talked about and giving them the pulse. Doesn't make them smarter or better than the 60-year-old owner who's got the life experience. It's about getting there sooner and being able to react quicker and identifying good things and bad things so you can make a decision on data versus just your gut.
Just
right?
The gut, right?
Yeah, you're kind of tying it together.
You know, data alone really doesn't do anything, right? It's just a tool to make a decision off of.
Yeah. So. And it seems like maybe there's less of an emotional aspect tied to it where, you know, if there's something, you know, I just like the way I do this and I don't want to change for anything, you know. But the hard facts say that if you did make an adjustment, you'd be more successful. So, it's fascinating. You know, when you mentioned the AI, I thought of the umpires, you know, talking about having the automated strike zone.
Automated
now.
Strike zone.
We'll put some people out of work, I guess, but they'll probably have three minders to watch.
Right, and to watch the computer.
Yeah, and to make sure that it's not, you know, off target or whatever. So, again, are you able to convince a lot of our businesses that this is a worthy endeavor on their part?
Yeah, so we launched our service line here this past December. And so we were doing some beta testing with a few clients leading into that. We continue to expand our reach into our existing base. And irregardless of your accounting system and your data sets, you know, we've been working with QuickBooks clients. We have sister company that services Microsoft Great Plains. So irregardless of your accounting package, there's other systems there, right? We have production systems that are capturing data. And so it's the ability there to bring it all together. So clients, as we're reaching out to them, they look at what they've been doing for data capture, how they're analyzing it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's one of those things, too, where they're kind of been in a rut of how they do that. And we come in with maybe a second set of eyes, a different look and a different approach to that. And so we're starting to see the traction starting to gain now for our client base.
Is part of it maybe even, I hate to use the term profiling, but is that what you're kind of trying to do among who your customers are and that type of thing too? Where you're trying to, is that enter into any of this or not?
As far as looking at our base and saying, here's who we feel, you know, would have the most maybe immediate value on something we can provide to them in this service line. Yeah, we're looking at our client base from that perspective. But at the end of the day, though, we know it goes beyond just that low-hanging fruit, so to speak. Really, anyone that's in business can get some additional value by having someone else come in, kind of kick the tires a little bit, provide that second look, be that trusted advisor, and help them navigate their data sets and data sources.
Mm-hmm. As CPAs, we're the natural ones with the financial data, right? We've been living and dying in that for hundreds of years in the financial data. It's bringing in the operational aspect, just as Dustin mentioned, which is probably the challenge, where because you have to marry the two together, right? I mean, you have to marry, you know, the financial side, as you mentioned, input costs. You have to balance all this and what it all means with what we're doing every day as far as how many widgets we're making or where we're selling it logistically. Logistics is a big deal, obviously, mm-hmm. in data analytics as well. But it's kind of marrying the two together. And that's kind of where, wouldn't you say, our biggest challenge has been is bringing in the operational data to the financial data. The financial data is the easiest part, right? I'm making it sound simple when I say this, but we basically plug in. They give us their entire general ledger, their entire sales journal, the purchase journal, right? And we can analyze this data in, how many minutes can we do that? I shouldn't say minutes because that makes it sound like we're stealing, but it's a very short period of time, mm-hmm. you know?
Right, and so the challenge is bringing it together. Even the debits and credits of the financial numbers are one aspect, but within your accounting packages, there's all sorts of different data points on your customers and your vendors, when you're purchasing, where your customers are located. One of our ag retail clients reached out and said, hey, I want to understand our footprint and our product flow and our footprint so that when a certain region on maybe the southern border of our region starts purchasing a certain product, that I can then assess what the future is going to look like a month or two out as that change in my product mix flows north in their territory. I mean, this is kind of cutting edge thinking.
I was going to say, that seems, yeah, that really seems very, I can't think of a better term than cutting edge. But
right, so and resale, right? Because yeah. they're very protective to some degree of their markets, and they realize how competitive these farmers are today, and they're crossing borders. And when I say borders, like kind of your natural, like if it's 212, I don't cross mm-hmm. 212. And in the old days, you know, the good old co-op salesmen and sales yeah. ladies didn't cross the line. Well, now farmers are reaching out, and sure. it's not just my local co-op anymore that I have to deal with. And I think that data comes from basically geography, right? And where it's coming from. Yeah. Which isn't financial per se. Mm-hmm. So that's where you tie the two together.
And you look at your customer base too, and you just see the flow of purchasing.
Yeah.
And if you see something trending down there and you have enough data across your base, you can kind of get an idea who you need to be improving your customer service with, having those additional touch points. Why are the sales, you know, year over year going down, or there's this trend? And so it allows you to have the opportunity to improve your customer service. I mean, there's unlimited things you can do with right. all of these data sources. It's just putting it together in a system where you can utilize it.
I can see even mergers and acquisitions, you know, that could benefit if they're looking at maybe while we're going to merge with this co-op or whatever, mm-hmm. You know, that could be very helpful to know that. Then how is it going to increase their customer base and things like that? So yeah. I assume you guys don't do this out of the goodness of your heart. I mean, but isn't it?
I don't think we're doing it for free, are we?
That's not the plan.
But is it something then that is there kind of a flat fee, or is it based on just how complicated and how much information people want? Or?
Yeah, it depends upon what we're getting into. And mm-hmm. so there's kind of an initial touch point or initial conversation surrounding what the kind of goal or the objective of the project is, and then it's kind of mapped out from there. And so every client, every business is different. They're all unique. They all have different desires and needs. They all have different handle and comfort level with certain aspects of their business versus others. So it's kind of specialized for each client. So
But can they reach out and just even have a meeting with you to determine whether or not this is something?
And there's no charge for anything like that. If clients want to reach out or customers reach out to us and just want a touch point to understand if it's something for them, they surely can do that. So
obviously, this isn't for the shoebox clients, though, right? I mean, if there isn't data that we can plug into, we really can't do a lot, right? I mean, so you're going to have some kind of database, some kind of accounting center to start with, right? I mean, so... Most of our clients, I would say now, are using an accounting package, using data of some sort, if it's Excel, you know, which is a database. I know Dustin's like, that's the simplest database in the world, but it is, right? So, I mean, that's the stuff that we're shooting for. So,
okay. Yeah. Well, it's a very interesting topic, that's for sure, and something pretty new at Christensen.
Well, for us, it's new. It's probably not new in the world, but in West Central Minnesota... I don't know of anybody that does it as, you know, super good or, you know, does a lot of it. So we really feel like we are on the cutting edge. And to Dustin's credit, another partner, Sarah DeRue, in our office, was it a year and a half ago, went to a session with our Upstream Academy folks.
Up in an advisor conference, kind of what's the next thing that's an opportunity to help your clients succeed, and data analytics is kind of one of those things. So we went through a boot camp process to understand more about ourselves and a little bit more about how we need to approach it, and I guess launched in December off that. So
we've done some fun projects just inside with our own data, and that's been really interesting too, like things nothing like life-changing, but some good stuff even just in our firm data to kind of practice on. And like, wow, I had no idea that's what it was doing, or I had no idea we were doing that. And so, it's a super interesting thing if you get the time to make for it.
Yeah. Well, how do guys get a hold of you? And then do they ask for Dustin then when they call, or do the people know when they answer the phone? If they were looking for, data analytics, analytics, they
that
know who
good.
To ask for.
No, they're not going to call me. So I'm just that guy that knows enough to be dangerous. But I think, giving us a shout or looking at our website, we've launched that also too, right, on our website.
If you go to ChristensenCPA.com and the search bar, type in data analytics, that'll bring you to our launch page. So
it'll be fun to do that,
I would say Dustin is our leader of that, along with Sarah DeRue, another partner. And then Lisa Christensen, that was the senior
data analyst. Yep.
Senior data
shout
analyst.
Out to Lisa. So
thank you, Lisa. I'm still shocked by that little tag that we're going to... Are you serious? We're gonna patent that thing?
That's the plan.
So let's leave with that then in the final seconds again.
Yeah, what say is that again.
It's taking the invaluable, or the, excuse me, the invisible and making it invaluable.
I like it.
Man,
that's terrific.
I'm jacked up now. We're just going to start driving around in my truck with that on.
Good to meet you, Dustin. Thanks for coming in. And Joel, always great to see you.
Thanks for having us.
Take care, Bill.
All right.